As I mentioned before, we are commemorating the disappearance day of these great two great personalities, Jagadish Pandit and, of course, Srila Jiva Goswami. So I'll speak a little bit about Jagadish Pandit, and then we'll go on to Srila Jiva Goswami. Of course, Jagadish Pandit was a famous associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was known for preaching in Jagannath Puri. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him to Jagannath Puri to preach, and he became so attached to Lord Jagannath, and Adi Lila will like this story. He used to carry the deity of Lord Jagannath on a stick. Yeah, it was on a stick. And at present, you can see, go see the stick that he would carry Lord Jagannath on. And also his wife was a great devotee of the Lord. His wife had deities that were personally given to her by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because she was feeling so much separation from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had visited their house and stayed in their house for several days, she started crying and she was overwhelmed with the pain of separation. So what happened is that Lord Chaitanya personally gave her these deities, the Gaur Gopal deities, very, very special deities. And he said to her, "I shall live eternally in your home in my deity form." So these deities are still there now. So it says that Jagadish Pandit and his brother, Hiranya, used to be the Nagapatnis, two of the Nagapatnis, the snake ladies who were the wives of Kaliya. And so they were great devotees. Actually, they saved Kaliya from being killed by Krishna. It was by their mercy Kaliya got Krishna's mercy. So, of course, they're also famous because they fed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day during Ekadashi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I had a dream." And these two brahmanas, Jagadish and Hiranya, were actually offering foodstuffs to their deity, and I want to go eat. And so they didn't understand, his parents didn't understand, but they took him there anyway, and they saw that there had been prasadam offered, and then Lord Chaitanya ate it. Of course, children don't have to follow Ekadasi up to about a certain age. Some people say 8, some people say 6, but a certain age, before a certain age, they don't have to follow. And after a certain age, after you're 80, you don't have to follow Ekadasi anymore. So 8 to 80, you have to follow Ekadasi. Anyway, you can follow Ekadasi after you're 80 too, for any of you who happen to be that old here. Anyway. Every year, this devotee would go to Bengal to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the Rath Yatra festival. He was also present with Lord Nityananda during the Panihati Chip Rice Festival. So he passed away on the 13th day after the full moon. That's today, of course, the month of Posha. And today we are commemorating his disappearance. We're also commemorating the disappearance of Srila Jiva Goswami, who was, of course, one of the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan. And perhaps, as Srila Prabhupada describes, not perhaps, but he is the most erudite scholar of all time. He is the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Actually, his father's name was Ballabha. Ballabha was the brother of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and he traveled with Rupa Goswami, but he actually passed away during the travels, and he was very attached to Lord Ramchandra. Although Rupa Goswami tried to convince him just to chant Krishna's names, chant Hare Krishna. Don't chant the Sita Ram so much. You can chant it somewhat, but not all the time. He was so attached to chanting Sita Ram that he would not give that up. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much appreciated that. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees would test the devotion of a devotee for their particular Ishta Devata, like he did the same thing with Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta is considered to be an incarnation of Hanuman. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said to him, you should just chant Hare Krishna, don't chant the Sita Ram so much, because we're devotees of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And Murari Gupta tried, and then he just became morose and depressed and started crying. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised him. He said, this is wonderful that you have a servitor who will not give up his Lord. How exalted is the servitor who will not give up his Lord, and how exalted is the Lord who will not give up his servitor. This is very important, this quality of loyalty to one's Ishtadevata. So Balabha was the same, and so he was the father of Srila Jiva Goswami. Srila Jiva Goswami, of course, was the youngest of all the Goswamis. And he was the most erudite, but it's described in the pastimes of Jiva Goswami and the interactions between Jiva and especially Rupa Goswami. Jiva Goswami exhibited, of course, this is a pure devotee, we're not criticizing, but he exhibited, according to Rupa Goswami, some of the pride of youth. When one's young, they think they can do anything and get away with anything. And of course, Jiva Goswami was not under that influence, but there, it is a particular passage. There's two instances that occurred. One is the instance told in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of how there was a conquering pandit. In the old days, people used to conquer others by argumentation. Nowadays they fight, you know, they... It's called terrorism. But in those days they had verbal terrorism, which is a lot kinder than the terrorism that you find nowadays. So a sporting game in those days would be considered watching two Brahmins argue. Instead of like nowadays it's the bowl season. I don't know if any of you know what that means. That means like, not like fruit bowl or anything like that. It's the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, of course I say jokingly toilet bowl season, where people in different sporting activities, especially this football, you know, they fight with each other. And in Fiji they have this game called rugby, which is like even worse than football. It's like gorillas attacking each other. So, and of course this is the Western idea. This is used to be in Rome, where they throw the Christians to the lions. I don't know if you ever saw this. Some past life you might have seen this. But you might have been one of the Christians who were thrown at the lions. But in India it was far more refined. I mean, you know, the West, we have so many horrible ways that people like have competitions, isn't it? Even there's this, what is it called, cockfighting and like that, where they give the chickens, you know, razor blades and they fight each other. Really hellish. You know, really hellish things. But anyway, in India it was much more refined. Nowadays it's different. But in the old days it was very refined. So they would just, you know, two Brahmins would argue, or a Brahmin would argue against the Vaishnava, and the Vaishnava would defeat the Brahmin, and everyone would go, Jai, Haribo. And there would be a whole assembly, you know, they'd be watching. So anyway, so this Digvijay, he was going around India, and he was defeating everybody with his mouth. That is, with argumentation, logic, and reasoning. And so the Goswamis of Vrindavan, being detached from prophet adoration distinction, were not into, you know, like defeating people for the sake of defeating people. Actually, Prabhupada also said that when we're talking to people of different religious persuasions, he said we should not simply defeat them, because they will actually become atheistic at that point. We should encourage them to work in a spirit of devotion. So, you know, obviously we could, with our philosophy, defeat so many other philosophies. So the idea is to bring people closer to Krishna, not just simply go around defeating people. So this Digvijaya, he went to Rupa Goswami, and he said to Rupa Goswami, I challenge you. And Rupa Goswami said, you win. You know, just leave me alone, you know. And the Digvijaya said, all right, you have to sign a certificate saying that I won. And Rupa Goswami said, okay. Just get out of here already. You know, I got to chant Hare Krishna. You know, you know, a devotee doesn't want to waste time doing these things, you know, arguing with people needlessly. So he signed this called the Jaya Patra. Patra means like certificate. Jaya means victory. So he signed it, and he was just going, this Digvijaya was just, Jai, I defeated Rupa Goswami. And then he passed by Jiva Goswami, and Jiva Goswami said, you know, what's happening? Why are you so happy? He said, look, I defeated him. I won. Honeymoon. You know, like people have all these trophies. When I was young, I had trophies on my mantelpiece. You ever seen trophies? No, no one knows what a trophy is. Anyway, you know, anyway, all these trophies, one with a bowling ball in it, you know, another one with a scuba tank on it. Anyway, so it's like that. So Jiva Goswami said, you know, this isn't good. So then he had a discussion with his Digvijaya and defeated him. And the Digvijaya, when you defeat these Digvijayas, they usually have calls of nature. That means they can't control it. Anyway, certain things. And he ran away. And when Rupa Goswami heard about this, he said, you have taken sannyas too early. So you don't leave my association, leave Vrindavan. So he went to Mathura, and it's described he was living in the hollow of a tree. And Sanatana Goswami later on came around and said to Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami was the elder, and he said to, not to Jiva Goswami, he said to Rupa Goswami, he says, where's Jiva? And he said, Rupa Goswami related what had happened, and he said, don't you understand, you're not obeying one of the tenets of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Rupa Goswami went through his mind, said, what tenet, what instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu am I disobeying? He went through this one, you know, what? Just tell me. He said, Jiva Doi, being kind to Jivas. Of course, Jiva means not only Jiva Goswami, it means Jiva souls. So, you know, Rupa Goswami understood that particular double meaning, and he said, all right, let him come back. Another time, there's actually two stories that are very similar that are told. Another time, this Balabhacharya, who's the head of the Pushti Marg in India, actually came to Rupa Goswami and was reading some of Rupa Goswami's works, and he was very impressed, and he said, oh, this needs a little editing. Let me edit it. So he went to the river to take a bath and met Jiva Goswami and said to Jiva Goswami, you know, I'm going to edit some of Rupa Goswami's works. And Jiva Goswami just, at that time, he didn't defeat him per se, but he showed how Rupa Goswami's works didn't need editing. You know, he actually said, you know, this is, you're finding fault where there's no fault. You know, actually it's all perfect grammar. And so Balabhacharya went away at that time. And then Rupa Goswami said, what happened to Balabhacharya? You know, he was going to edit my works. And Jiva Goswami said, you know, I already discussed it with him. And he's not, he's, because of our discussion, he actually has come to the conclusion that your works don't need editing. And Rupa Goswami got very disturbed with him. He said, what are you doing? What are you doing, you know? This is improper. He wanted to engage in service. I was trying to engage him in Krishna's service. And then he said, you know, just perform some austerity. So Jiva Goswami at that point went away again, and he started eating just leaves. And he was getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And the villagers were all worried about him. And they all went to Sanatana Goswami. And they said, Sanatana, this is too much. And Sanatana Goswami went to Rupa Goswami, and then Rupa Goswami said, all right, he can come back and take regular prasadam again. So these are pastimes of pure devotees. It's not that Jiva Goswami actually has some fault. Try to understand that. But these are pastimes to illustrate, to show us that really we have to Chanadapi Sudichena Tarodiva Sihishtada. Manina Manadena Kirtina Sadahari, that we really have to become extremely humble if we want to be able to continue to chant Krishna's names. Because if we're not humble, then we commit offenses. Offenses means we're finding fault in Vaishnavas, isn't it? That's what the real problem with false pride, I mean the biggest problem with false pride, is that we actually find fault in others. And that leads us to commit offenses. And that leads us to lose a taste, and that leads us to not be able to continually chant Hare Krishna. Because if you have a taste, You know, if you have a real taste for chanting, it's easy to chant all the day long, all day and all night. But if you don't have a taste, then it's very difficult. Okay. So anyway, so Jiva Goswami went on to instruct, of course, Narottamadas Thakur and Shyamananda, Srinivasacharya, the three devotees who are the next generation after the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who spread Krishna consciousness all over eastern India, in Orissa and Bengal. He became like the Siksha Guru of those three great personalities. Also, Jiva Goswami is known for his erudition in writing many literatures. There's a Sanskrit grammar he wrote, Harinam Vyakarana, which means the grammar that utilizing the names of Krishna to show the grammatical rules of Sanskrit. He's most famous, I think, for the Shat Sandarbhas, the six Sandarbhas that actually describe all the aspects of Sambandha, Videyam, Prayojana, the nature of this world, the ontological nature of the world, the ontological nature of the Jiva, the Supreme Personality of God, the spiritual world, all the different philosophies, how to get back to, that's Abhideya, how to get back to the spiritual world, the practice of Krishna consciousness, one's relationship, and then ultimately pure love of God, which is described in the Priti Sandarbha. So he's perhaps most famous for that. And scholars today, they actually study Jiva Goswami's works and admire it. He's actually acknowledged by most scholars as the most erudite Sanskrit scholar of all time. So today is his disappearance day. We are commemorating his disappearance day. So now we go on to Srimad Bhagavatam. 12 people watching. That's good. So Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 31. All right. Text 47. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasman na